If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the crossroads of America, in the heartland, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through ConservativeNationRadio.org. From behind the silver CNR microphone of freedom comes the voice of reason for this, the first hour of the show. And now, here is the infidel, Robert Garding.
Okay. From one week to the next, it seems that lately I will never run out of things to talk about. The liberal left is giving me all these things. And the way I'm looking at it now is that the only way that we're going to lose this next election is if we lose it ourselves, even though the hierarchy of the GOP seems to be working hard on that one. For my friend that I mentioned on my last show, Douglas B. Gibbs, who's in California, he does constitutional radio show. He does his own talk show on KCAA radio, and he has his own blog. This one is from his blog, and I thought it was very behooving to put this out this time. He says there is a noose around the neck of our republic, and that line right there just really speaks volumes. I have an audio clip later on in the show of Obama talking about how we have a democracy. No, we don't. And he's wrong about that. But Doug says there is a noose around the neck of our republic, but instead of removing that noose, we are tightening it and standing at the ready to kick the chair out from under America. I am angry because we have stood by and have watched it happen. We are not fighting like we claim. We have not pledged our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor for this cause of freedom, and it is time for us to understand that the liberal left does not mean to just control us, but to conquer us, to silence us, to destroy us. Now, isn't that the truth, folks? He goes on to say, a coup has already taken place, and the enemy, as ancient as humanity itself, sits on a throne inside the White House. And he is hissing with satisfaction. Our nation has been compromised. We are being taken from within. A revolution exists, and it began with the shouts of a Tea Party. But now when I use language that includes words like revolution and fight and Tea Party, I am told we must be careful, for we don't want to come across as belligerent. Actually, I do. And Doug writes down here, he says, wrong. We are fighting for the future of this nation, and the only thing that seems to unite us is the Constitution. So let's rally around it. Let's take it to the enemy, because we are not outnumbered, and it is not too late. I want them to know that we are angry, and I want them to be nervous about what we will do next. And isn't this the truth, folks? He speaks from knowledge of what can happen if you speak out. About a year or so ago, I remember he was doing his blog, and all of a sudden, a couple of radical left people came and stoned his house, broke a bunch of windows, and he quit. He just up and quit. And the one that kept him going was his wife, who is an immigrant from Mexico, or Peru, I can't exactly remember whether it's one or the other, or actually even both. But She came at him and said, "You are living in a great country. Why are you giving up? You can't give up because freedom is not free." Well, he's still at it. And he says, "We can fight the good fight and win this liberty revolution, but we have to be willing to do this. We have to get up and fight. We have to be willing to stand up on Lexington Green if that becomes necessary. In addition to my radio program, Constitution classes, Constitution Association meetings, writings, I plan to begin soon on Sundays a new effort, street preaching about the Constitution in the leftist neighborhoods. How are you helping the cause?" And I was reading this and I thought, oh my gosh, all I'm doing is just kind of sitting on my rear end doing a radio show once a week. He's on the air almost every day. Where he finds the time for this, I don't know. But he says, who is it that's fighting this fight? Who is it that is doing everything humanly possible to stop this foreign takeover of our beloved country? You know what to do. Now, that is from his blog, Political Pistachio, and he is right. We do know what to do. We know without a doubt what to do, but the question comes in, are we going to do it? Sadly, I feel the majority of us will do nothing. I do my blog, like I said, my videos, my radio show. I live about 30 miles from Indianapolis, and there the government works. I never go there to find out just what they are doing. I do get a lot of mail telling me. I write them a lot and tell them about my concerns. And though I do not live in a liberal state, there are liberals all around me. So what do? Not as much as I could. But in that, I am doing much more than a lot of us are. How about you? What are you doing to save this nation from the liberal onslaught of our liberties and our freedoms? Are you willing to take up arms if it comes to that? I know that I am. I know that now I am in the process of getting my firearms license, and I will stop till I get it. I won't stop till I get it. Here in Indiana, I can get a lifetime concealed carry permit if I wanted to, and I'm considering that. We all must do our parts here because the government is always working against us to put us all down. And on this, we can just look at what they're doing. They're buying up ammunition like it's going out of style, and ammunition is starting to get more and more scarce because of it. They are working to tear our nation down. Mark my words here. Good afternoon and welcome to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through conservativenationradio.org. The number to call in and talk on the show is 718-305-7176. And now, on with the show.
There's a smile on the wind as it touches my face and starts to erase all the gloom. And the sun with a kiss begins to dismiss the memory of my life without you.
One of the things that we have to realize here is that if the government keeps working against us the way it is, we have to do our best to stop them. And if we don't do it soon, there's a chance that it could end up in open rebellion against our own government. After all, that is kind of what the Second Amendment gives us the right to do if our government suddenly becomes tyrannical. And, oh my gosh, it's been that way for a bunch of years now. But that's one of the things that our Constitution guarantees us, you know, to be able to fight against the tyranny of a government gone wild. And that, I'm afraid, is just what our government is heading for if they haven't already reached that point. And why is the government buying up millions of rounds of ammo? Why is it that they think they know that we are not even thinking about that now? I can tell you. One of the things that I have mentioned here is the fact that we could end up in armed conflict with our government. Well, they know this too. Don't you even think it is strange that the government is buying up buku amounts of ammo? Have you ever tried to figure out why? It doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that they want all the ammo, so we can't have it, can't do anything when the time comes for us to start doing anything. And you know, that's where the whole thing comes in. We've got to start looking at what our government is doing. And yes, my friends, I agree with Doug on this one. I think that the government knows that the people are unhappy and are at the boiling point. If they figure out, but you know, and they figure if they can get all the ammo before we can start anything, and then you know they're also working on getting the guns from us too. Then we will lose every attempt that we would have to fight against them, and there would be nothing they would have to worry about. So if you think anything like this, then you know that there's a lot to worry about here. The government knows we could go against them. They know they are doing what they can to keep us from doing what they fear from us, and that is open revolution. It's one of the things that the English government never thought would happen. They saw the signs. They saw what was coming and what was going on. They just didn't think that the American people would do this. Or actually, we were at the time British sovereign citizens, but we were not being treated as such, were we? But the question comes in now, will we do it? That is something that I can't answer. But when the time comes, I certainly hope that we will, if it calls for it, because the fate of America could depend on what we do. Actually, the fate of America depends on what we do now, doesn't it? Like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher bring you Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Dependable is hardly enough to describe our two main men and their awesome show. Hey, it wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org and also on my blog talk radio, really. Conservative Nation, Real Conservatives. Boy, I just messed that one up all over the place tonight. Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. From the Chicago Tribune came this little headline. A festive night out erupts in violence. That is the only one I could find. Here's the trouble. In Chicago, during the 4th of July weekend, there were 72 people shot. Now, did you hear this in the news? I know I didn't. And my friends, for some cities here in America, the number 72 is much higher than their annual total of dead all in all categories. But Chicago, one long weekend. But with those deaths in Chicago, and they weren't all deaths, but with the deaths in Chicago, here is what the media focused on. The plane crash in San Francisco. All over the news. But how many of you heard the thing about Chicago, unless, of course, you listened to Rush Limbaugh? He reported it. But there isn't many places in the media that did. To them, the important thing was not the 72 that were shot in Chicago over the weekend. Of them, 12 men were killed, 60 others wounded, and you haven't heard of, you haven't heard that. In that plane crash, two people died in San Francisco on Saturday, and that is all we have heard about. But that is my point. I think 72 people shot in a four-day period in Chicago, and we get from the media, what's the big deal? No news, no coverage. It isn't covered at all. No panic. No, oh my God, can you believe it? That many in 4 days? But you did get this. Did you see what happened in San Francisco? That plane crash? Oh, those poor people, the suffering families. Oh my God. Where are our priorities here? I know they aren't in the right place anymore. The national press ignores the really important things all the time, so much so that it really doesn't raise any eyebrows anymore, which is kind of sad. And it drives me nuts, as it should most all of us. But, of course, it won't. Okay.
You are listening to Robert Garding, the Infidel, with the new Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on Blog Talk Radio through conservativenationradio.org. Call lines are open at 718-305-7176, and after a few announcements, we will be right back. Stay tuned.
It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've got to have the brightest minds to help solve our biggest challenges. And it's a reminder that in this democracy, we, the people, recognize that this government belongs to us, and it's up to each of us and every one of us to make it work better. We can't just stand on the sidelines. We can't take comfort in just being cynical. We all have a stake in government success. Because the government is us, and we're doing things right. When we're tracking weather more effectively, that saves lives for folks who are in the path of a tornado. When we're delivering effectively data on improved healthcare choices, that's going to save lives.
I listened to that, and my first thought was, how many things did he say in that little bitty clip that were absolutely false? Even as he talked about we the people, it seemed clear that President Obama was more focused on we the government. In his statement Monday, Obama told us that we should not be cynical about government inefficiencies, citing several examples of his administration's effort to develop new technologies to improve government. It's not the government that does these things, folks. It's the free market system that he is so intent on trying to destroy. Obama stressed that we have the brightest minds to help solve our biggest challenges, and yet everything he's doing is for the purpose of shutting those bright minds down. Nobody questions him about this one. a comment that that would have been more convincing had Vice President Joe Biden had not had been standing next to him as he spoke. He followed that up by offering up his best pitch for big government when he said, "And this, in this democracy, we the people recognize that this government belongs to us, and it's up to each of us and every one of us to make it work better. We can't just stand on the sidelines. We can't take comfort in just being cynical. We all have a stake in government success because government is us." Does anybody else want to throw up too? This is our president. He should know better. We do not have a democracy. We have a republic. There is much difference there. But I really think that what he is after is a democracy. It'd be more in lines with the way he wants to rule this country. And a lot of the people just hear him say that and they just kind of nod their heads and they say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, well, okay, fine." But the government, the president added, "We are doing things right." As he pointed out that the federal government was saving lives by delivering health data on health care. This drives me nuts. What in the heck are we doing? You know, I listen to all this, and it makes me want to just stand up and scream at my computer and throw things at my computer. Hey, we are not a democracy. Hey, we do not think of we the government. We think of we the people. We are the bosses, not you. And nobody says a word. In the background, you hear absolutely nothing. Maybe a little rustling here and there. Maybe that's the people shifting their positions so that they can sit there and think, "Well, that's not right, but I'm not going to say anything about this." We have a president right now that only thinks that he is the leader of a democracy. He acts more like a king. Somebody who's supposed to make the rules that everyone else will follow. And yet, what do we do about it? I know, now, don't get me wrong here. There are a lot of people out here doing stuff about it. You know, and it's like with me, I saw some guy pulling into a parking lot the other day, and he had Obama-Biden stickers on the left side of his truck, and on the right side of his truck it says, "I believe in America." And he got out of his truck, and I said, "Really? You believe in America? And you voted for Obama?" He didn't say anything. One of these days I'm going to do something like that and get the crap knocked out of me. But things have got to be said, people. We have allowed our government to do things that are totally against the Constitution now for 4 or 5 years now, even longer than that for that matter. And all we are interested in is being able to continue our lives the way we are, go out, mow our lawns on Saturdays or on the weekends, have family get-togethers on the weekends. But how long do you think that we'll be able to keep doing this kind of thing if the government keeps taking over, stealing our freedoms from us? And the more freedoms we lose, people, the less we're going to be able to do that we like to do, wouldn't you think? I have always had real problems with this. And I've had a lot of liberals tell me, you know, people that I've had in my life, through my life, and know that I never served in the military, say, well, you didn't fight for our country. No, I didn't. But I did try. And there's where the difference is. I did try. I was essentially turned down because of a medical disorder I had at the time that I was taking medicine for. Something I was told I would outgrow, which I eventually did. But the sergeant that I talked to when I tried to get in told me, okay, say you're out in the middle of the bush out there and you're being attacked by Charlie and you run out of your medicine. Who's going to get it for you? That ended it right there. So I never got to serve. My best friend did. He was over there for a few years. And I know a lot of other people that did too. And I have nothing against these people. I have nothing but respect for somebody who will stand up and fight for this nation when it's something that needs to be done by almost everybody here, because we are losing our freedoms. And that line that I constantly hear and see on T-shirts and things, that freedom is not free, there is more truth than that than anyone would ever think. Here we are allowing our government to take our freedoms away just like they were meant to be taken away by the government. And nobody says a word about it. And it drives me insane, people. I made a joke last week about how I am never invited to some of these press conferences because they're probably afraid I'll speak up, because I will. That's not the reason why I'm not invited. I'm not invited because they don't know I'm around. Of course, if they knew I was around and knew my policies, I still wouldn't be invited. But this nation needs to be fought for, people. It needs to be fought for hard and strong. We are the greatest nation this world has ever seen. And we're going to lose it if we don't do something about it. I had a story here that I was going to read you about abortion. And what Governor Rick Perry had said about it and how everybody kind of came down on him for it. And I lost most of the first part of it as I was printing out my articles that I wanted to talk about. The first part of it is gone. But we all know that story, how Rick Perry spoke about legislative proceedings in Texas and how they are derailing a law that would ban abortions after 20 weeks. And they had a crowd out there that was, according to the article I was reading, that was whipped into an angry mob by leftist socialists and hold-ons from the anarchy-driven Occupy movement. And it has been discovered that that a radical left-wing group that, with ties to the Obama re-election campaigns, sought to hire outside agitators for pro-abortion mischief at the Texas Capitol. As the new session has begun, that will again attempt to pass abortion restrictions aimed at increasing safety for women and protecting late-term babies that can feel pain. And some of the things that have been said over on Twitter and Facebook by these leftist women and NAG, women from NAG that can't see that trying to save the baby would also be good for the woman, too? All they see is they're taking that a law like that would take away a woman's right to abort, like every woman who gets impregnated by somebody wants to abort that baby so they don't have to have them. That's the idea I get from these people. And it drives me crazy, drives me nuts. And I know it probably does that to other to women.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. And now Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce that when you join LifeLock, you will get the first 30 days free and 10% off the regular price from then on. But this is only through ConservativeNationRadio.org. It's quite a deal. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to ConservativeNationRadio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationradio.org, and click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to tn4action.com. That's TN, the number 4, action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, action.com to stand for America now.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
From TRNS, Talk Radio News Service, comes this one. Obama seeks advantage by not enforcing. Now, we've all heard this one. President Obama is refusing to obey his own law, and folks, this is against the law. Of course, most things Obama is pulling now are against the law. And why isn't anyone trying to prosecute him? I can tell you. The fear of being called a racist. I found two from a new blog this week called IG Star. The first one was called Only in America, and it is so true. He says, this is what other countries think of us, in this case Canada, concerning the top 10 Only in America observations. Number 10, Only in America could politicians talk about the greed of the rich at a $35,000 a plate campaign fundraising event. Oh, yeah. Number nine, only in America could people claim that the government still discriminates against black Americans when they have a black president, a black attorney general, and roughly 18% of the federal workforce is black, white only 12% of the population, while only 12% of the population is black. Number eight, only in America could they have had the two people most responsible for our tax code, Timothy Geithner, head of the Treasury Department, and Charles Rangel, who once ran the Ways and Means Committee, both turn out to be tax cheats who are in favor of higher taxes. Seven, only in America can they have terrorists kill people in the name of Allah and have the media primarily react by fretting that Muslims might be harmed by the backlash. That one was one that just blew me out of the water when I first heard about it, and I saw it, an actual news story about it sometime back. Number six, only in America could they make people who want to legally become American citizens wait for years in their home countries and pay tens of thousands of dollars for the privilege while they discuss letting anyone who sneaks into the country illegally just magically become American citizens. Number five, only in America could people who believe in balancing the budget and sticking by the country's constitution be thought of as extremists. Yeah. Number four, only in America could you need to present a driver's license to cash a check or buy alcohol, but not to vote. Number three, only in America could people demand the government investigate whether oil companies are gouging the public because the price of gas went up when the return on equity invested in a major U.S. oil company, Marathon Oil, is less than half of a company making tennis shoes, Nike. Number two, only in America could the government collect more tax dollars from the people than any nation in recorded history, yet spend $1 trillion more than it has per year for a total spending of $7 million per minute and complain that it doesn't have nearly enough money. And number one, only in America could the rich people who pay 86% of all income taxes be accused of not paying their fair share by people who don't pay any income taxes at all. Those are the 10 things, folks, that show just how freaking messed up this country is, and it is all because of government. The audio that I had here of Obama trying to tell us that we are doing things right is so patently untrue that it screams for someone to stuff a dirty sock in his mouth as he is saying it, and then speaking out and saying he is a liar, because he is. The second article from LG Star is this one, something I doubt if many of you heard about too, the 72 killed resisting gun confiscation in Boston. And there's another 72. This was on Wednesday, June 19th. National Guard units seeking to confiscate a cache of recently banned assault weapons were ambushed by elements of a paramilitary extremist faction. Military and law enforcement sources estimate that 72 were killed and more than 200 injured before government forces were compelled to withdraw. Speaking after the class, Massachusetts Governor Thomas Gage declared that the extremist faction, which was made up of local citizens, has links to the radical right-wing tax protest movement. Yeah, that kind of figures. Gage blamed the extremists for recent incidences of vandalism directed against internal revenue offices. The governor who described the group's organizers as criminals issued an executive order authorizing the summary arrest of any individual who has interfered with the government's efforts to secure law and order. The military raid on extremist arsenal followed widespread refusal by the local citizenry to turn over recently outlawed assault weapons. It's one government official speaking on condition of anonymity pointed out that none of these people would have been killed had the extremists obeyed the law and turned over their weapons voluntarily. See, that there is the gist of the whole thing, people. The government is trying to confiscate our weapons. They do not want us armed. They don't want us to be able to stop them in anything they are trying to do. And if this doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. The things that drive me nuts about this is the fact that our government is working completely against us. It's working completely against the Constitution, and yet no one says a word. Ironically, the local citizenry blamed government forces rather than the radical extremists for civilian deaths. Before order could be restored, armed citizens from surrounding areas had descended upon the guard units. Colonel Smith, finding his forces overmatched by the armed mob, ordered a retreat. Governor Gage has called upon citizens to support the state national joint task force in its efforts to restore law and order. The governor also demanded the surrender of those responsible for planning and leading the attack against the government troops. Samuel Adams, Paul Revere, and John Hancock, who have been identified as ringleaders of the extremist faction, remain at large. And this, people, is how the American Revolution began on April 20th of 1775. Now, I kind of read this like it was happening today. But it sounds like it could, doesn't it? There's a lot there that the government is trying to do now. And yet, 237 years ago, a war started because of the very same actions that are going on now. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and some of the most informed guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. I got that one right this time. Are we having fun yet? If not, how about this? Ted Nugent is considering a bid for the Republican presidential nomination in 2016, the rocker told Washington Post. Things are just so wrong in the country now, Nugent said, and I know that my answers would make things wonderful unless you just refuse to produce, and then I'll recommend you move to Canada or Illinois, unquote. Nugent's wife, Shemaine, told the paper that fans are constantly asking him to run. He's talked about it before, Shemaine Nugent said, but this time he seems more serious. Nugent made headlines during the 2012 election when he endorsed Mitt Romney, who reportedly tracked down Nugent at a sporting goods store, and pledged not to sign any laws restricting gun ownership. He also appeared at the State of the Union address last year as guest of Representative Steve Stockman, Republican of Texas. But the rocker has also caused a fair share of controversy, earning a visit from the Secret Service after saying that if president was reelected, he would be dead or in jail. He's also used expletives to describe both former Secretary Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Senators Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California. In the interview with the Post, Nugent didn't seem optimistic about his chances if he does decide to run for president. The Republicans can't possibly promise more crap than the Democrats do, he said. We can't possibly offer more door prizes to the voters, he said. But if he does enter the race, he could have a prominent Republican ally, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, a former Republican presidential candidate himself, Huckabee told the Post that if he runs, I'll go help him. Ted says things in public that wouldn't even stay in that I wouldn't even say in private. But what people look for more than anything is authenticity, Huckabee said. I'm probably as straight-laced a Republican as there is, but I'd rather be around Ted Nugent, who has an absolute honesty about him, than a so-called values guy who is secretly bedding down with half his staff. I think you'd be surprised at how many evangelicals respond to him. And that was from Huckabee. You are listening to The Infidel, Robert Garding with the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through conservativenationradio.org. All call lines are open now at 718-305-7176, and after a few announcements, we will be right back.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here? Quash. Hoo-hoo, Jashkin. I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
There's a video out now showing how shockingly little Americans know about the 4th of July and why we celebrate it. It's actually kind of pathetic, but if people don't like it, they need to do something about it. This surprised me to find out so many Americans have no clue. We are being raised to believe the 4th of July is for fireworks, but fireworks is only a part of it. Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat, Nevada, said Tuesday he feels sorry for House Speaker John Boehner because of the conservative pushback he is facing on a raft of issues. At his press conference, TPN asked Reid to respond to Boehner's suggestion that the House will demand tough border triggers before the process of normalizing the status of undocumented immigrants begins, an idea the Senate broadly rejected, thankfully. Well, they broadly rejected it anyway. Speaker Boehner is trying to decide where he is. Pick an issue, he said, citing matters such as the Farm Bill, Post Office, the budget resolution. He has dissension in his own ranks. We know that. Now, immigration. He is saying the bipartisan bill that we have done, he is not going to touch that. Well, we are going to continue to press, Reid said. The vast majority of the American people, Democrats, Republicans, support what we did. There they go again, people. If they're going to give us these things, like he said there, the vast majority of the American people, Democrats and Republicans, support what, where did they find this? Where did they get it? What poll was it? What was the statistics on it? And what is the URL for it? We want to see this because I sure never see it. The vast majority of Americans do not support what that government is doing. Even though we went and stupidly reelected most of them. I guess that's where they're getting this crap. That we reelected them, so we agree with everything they're doing. No. He goes on to say in their running ads, conservative organizations are running ads now saying, Mr. Boehner and the Republicans, why don't you do something about this? Like I said, who? Who are they, Mr. Harry Reid? He goes on to say, so I guess I feel sorry for the speaker. No, he doesn't. He's just trying to make everybody think that he actually has some kind of feelings when he really doesn't. Actually, the ones we should all feel sorry for is Harry Reid and the liberal left. It seems that the left does not seem to realize just the opposite of what the right doesn't seem to understand, the will of the people. But the problem with that is even though the left and the right are after opposite things, they do these in exactly the same way to get them. The left will work overtime to get what they want, whereas the right gives up and cows down when confronted. Let's hope that Boehner doesn't cow down and give up when he is confronted, because he will be. This quote by Harry Reid is probably just the beginning of this confrontation. And the problem we have here is that John Boehner is like a wet noodle on a wobbly table. He's gonna give, unless we just lambaste him with messages and letters and phone calls, so he has absolutely no chance to wobble like he does. And the thing that really bugs me about this whole thing is that every time the left says something like this, nobody stands up. Nobody says, no, wait a minute. Where are you finding this stuff? I think it's a lie. Tell me where you found this stuff, Mr. Reid, or Obama, or whoever the heck is speaking. But let somebody from the right say anything that has any hint somewhere in the deep, dark recesses of what they're saying has any hint of it being wrong. And the media will stand up and question. Obama will stand up and question. Everybody will say something. It'll become a media nightmare for a month or so. But when somebody like Harry Reid comes out and says something like this, shouldn't a Republican stand up and say, no, wait a minute. We know that's not true. Where are you finding this stuff? Don't just tell us that the vast majority of Americans, Republican and Democrat, agree with us. We know they don't. Where are you finding this? Where are you getting this information? Chances are, if that kind of thing happened, the Democrats would raise all kinds of hell, because all of a sudden, here we are, questioning their ideals, that we're questioning that they're Americans. We're questioning that they are doing what is right for America. Yeah, we are. But we're not supposed to. See, there's where the rub is. We are not supposed to, according to the left, anyway. And the sad part about that whole thing is, according to a lot of the hierarchy of the GOP, we are not supposed to do that either. Why? Is the hierarchy of the GOP afraid of confrontation? Yeah, I think they are. Is the Democrats afraid of confrontation? No. God, they've been working at that one for 100 years or so now. They're good at it. But the Republicans, what they're good at is backing down. And I know that there are tons of people out here, folks, that are sick and tired of this. We need to start standing up. We need to start figuring out what we need to do to save this country. One of the things that I've been doing lately is that all these movies that are coming out of Hollywood, I'm not interested in any of them, but there are a few out there right now that have really caught my attention. The one that I talked about last week, that's about the Civil War. The people who are criticizing these movies are saying that that one has more references to the Constitution and religious references in it than almost any movie they have seen in ages. And it's got more conservative values in it than any movie they have seen in a while. Those are the ones we need to start going out to see. Those are the ones we need to start pushing. Because they are from a media that has been destroying or doing their damnedest to destroy what America is for ages now, but they're from the conservative end of it. Decide the Hollywood hates. Wouldn't it be wild if Hollywood stopped making money and this other faction started? We could take all of that money that is now going to Hollywood, stop giving it to the liberal left like we have been. And really work on saving this nation. I wish to thank everybody who has come in for this first hour of the show, as it is just about over now. And I hope that you will be back for the second hour of the show. And we will be right back in a few short minutes with the second hour of New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with me, the Infidel, and anyone else, if they want to call in at 718-305-7176 and give us your opinions on how things are going in this nation. We will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
From the crossroads of America and the heartland, now comes the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host and his voice of reason in an unreasonable world, bringing you the news as it should be told from behind the silver CNR microphone of freedom. And now, on with the show. More than a year ago, noted Republican commentator Pat Buchanan warned that the outcome of the Trayvon Martin case, in which neighborhood watchman George Zimmerman is on trial for murder, could provoke rioting. The public mindset has been so poisoned that an acquittal of George Zimmerman could ignite a reaction similar to that 20 years ago when the Simi Valley jury acquitted the LAPD cops in the Rodney King beating case, he warned. It seems he may have been right. WND reported earlier in the week that the police in Sanford, Florida, where the trial is being held, already were going door to door, apparently trying to prevent any violent reaction to the jury verdict when it is reached. But a number of bloggers and watchers say there are not so subtle rumblings of violence developing, which is sad. On Mr. Conservative blog, Twitter threats were reproduced in abundance. If Zimmerman doesn't go to jail, I'll kill him for $20, said one. Give me that pistol. I'll kill Zimmerman myself, said another. If George Zimmerman wins, I'm going to kill a fat white boy that looked like George Zimmerman, I swear, said a third. This is despicable and seriously frightening, wrote blogger Kristen Tate. There is no way this would be tolerated if the threats were from whites, were against a black man. The latest on what's happening in Florida, in the Florida courtroom where Zimmerman is standing trial, goes like this. Zimmerman is on trial for the shooting death of Martin, a teen he had attacked, who he said attacked him and pinned him to the ground, delivering blows to his head. Zimmerman said he pulled his weapon and fired at Martin, killing him in self-defense. The blog reported thousands were threatening to riot should Zimmerman not be determined guilty by a jury. In addition to hundreds of racist, disturbing tweets, there are several Facebook pages dedicated to promoting the murder of George Zimmerman, Tate wrote. One of those pages even urges riots if he is not found not guilty for the murder of Trayvon Martin. One of the postings states, "Let's flex our muscle. What, you scared?" The online sentiment follows the video that I saw, and I tried to get the audio of it, and it was just too long to place in here. But police say they fear a backlash from the community when the verdict is delivered. Los Angeles had days of rioting when Rodney King verdict came down, so Sanford Police Chief Cecil Smith confirmed officers are going door-to-door talking to people. Our worst fear is that we'd have people from outside the community coming in and stirring up violence, he said. At the American Dream, commentator Michael Snyder wrote, should we take the thousands of people that are threatening to riot if George Zimmerman is found not guilty seriously? After all, people make idle threats online all the time. Sometimes people say things on Twitter or on Facebook that they don't actually mean and would never actually do in real life. Unquote. Snyder said that the justice system has got to be able to function without having to be concerned about threats of violence if the wrong result is reached. George Zimmerman deserves a fair trial just like anyone else does, he said. If he is actually guilty of a crime, then let him be found guilty. If he is not guilty of a crime, then let him be found not guilty. Snyder said the notion that he must be found guilty for the good of society is complete and utter nonsense. If we don't start allowing public opinion and threats of violence to determine if we start allowing public opinion and threats of violence to determine the outcome of court cases, our legal system will lose all remaining credibility. Yeah, it seems that is the way it is going. The media is concentrating on the people who are saying that there is going to be violence if Zimmerman is found innocent. But, folks, what if he is? You mean, if he is found innocent, the truth doesn't matter? And another point that I heard on the Rush Limbaugh show on Thursday, and I found this on the Blaze Network, that the prosecution is now thinking of adding another charge against Zimmerman. And you'll never guess what that one is. It is a third-degree murder charge of child abuse. Now, you remember when we were going back to the beginning when they showed these faulty photos that they used in the first place to turn the public against Zimmerman by using old, young photos of a young and innocent-looking Trayvon Martin to make it look like Zimmerman was the aggressor because Martin was just a wisp of a boy, which is not true, by the way. But now they are going back to that and thinking of adding child abuse charges against Zimmerman. See, I told you folks they are invested in a guilty verdict, no matter what the facts are. Zimmerman, if it keeps going this way, is toast. Whether he is innocent or guilty, it doesn't matter. Sadly, to a lot of folks out there, the truth does not matter. It doesn't matter a hill of beans. And that is the direction this country is being led now. The latest ruling on the Defense of Marriage Act is a great example of this. Most of the people were for defense of marriage, and a lower court ruled for it. Yet the left in this country will not take a defeat like that as a loss. They take it as a means to go to the next step and fight it in another court. It is like a few weeks ago I made mention of this syndrome as being like a drug addict going doctor shopping to find the one doctor that will give them the drugs that they crave. And yeah, it is the same thing. The left is doing just that. But the drug they crave is to get what they want. Even if what they want goes totally against the majority of the people and what they want, it doesn't matter to the left. So they judge shop and search until they find that one judge that will rule in their favor. Then for them, the war is over. They got what they wanted, and we lost. God and the institution of marriage between a man and a woman lost this one, folks. I just really hope the war is not over, because that is not the way it should be in either instance I talked about here. And it is about time that the people started realizing that if we don't stand up and fight for this nation, that we actually have an enemy in places of power in our government that are actively working every day, every hour of the day, every minute of every hour to take more of our rights away. That is essentially what government throughout history has always done to the people. America is the only country that has ever had a government that was formed by the people for the people, but it's not that way anymore. According to our government, they are the ones that are important. They are what America is, not the people. And I would think that the people would be rather offended by that cavalier way of thinking by our government. I know I am. And I know a lot of people who are. But shouldn't our representatives who represent what we feel be offended by this too? Shouldn't they think that, hey, we need to fight for these freedoms that we are here to fight for, or there will be none in the future? I do not know what is going to happen in this country. I'm hoping that this next election will unseat just as many Democrats as the last one did. That was a landslide victory for the Republicans, whether we have had it reported or not. Don't let the big liberal media fool you or anyone else. There's no war on women in the conservative movement. And we've got the proof right here every Tuesday night. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing comes to you at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, here on conservativenationradio.org. Listen up, then call in and be heard by women, real women who are real patriots. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We have a thing here. I'm hoping I can find it because it's not where I put it. Let me see if this is it. No, that can't be it either. I have a audio here that's supposed to be about a judge talking about things that are not right. Here it is.
Okay, Mr. Zimmerman, sir, I spoke with you this morning about your rights to testify if you want to, and the fact that you do not have to testify either. The jury cannot consider that in their deliberations of whether you testify or not. Did you have an opportunity to talk to your attorneys about whether or not you want to testify in this case?
Yes, sir.
Do you need some more time to talk to your attorneys about that?
No, you're.
Okay, and if you'll please just raise your right hand for one moment. Okay, and Mr. Zimmerman, like I said before, you're aware that during this trial you have the absolute right to remain silent. You do not have to say anything, do anything, or prove anything. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you also have the right to testify if you want to. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
And I've given you an opportunity to discuss with your attorneys whether or not you want to testify.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you've indicated that you have had those discussions?
Yes, sir.
And have you made a decision, sir, as to whether or not you want to testify
on
this case?
I objected.
Okay, overruled. Have you made a decision as to whether or not you want to testify in the case?
I object to that question. I think that's Mr.
Overruled. The court is entitled to inquire of Mr. Zimmerman's determination as to whether or not he wants to testify. Mr. Zimmerman, have you made a decision as to whether or not you want to testify in this case?
No, not at this time.
Okay, and when is it that you, how long do you think you need before you make that decision?
May we have an opportunity to speak? The case isn't concluded yet.
I understand that. And I've asked Mr. Zimmerman if he needed more time to talk to his attorneys, and if he does, I will afford it to him. Mr. Zimmerman, how much more time do you think you're going to need to discuss this with your attorney?
It depends on how long the recesses are. At the end of the day.
Okay. Well, if your attorneys have finished with two witnesses before the end of the day, do you think that you would then know whether or not you want to testify?
On Mr. Zimmerman's behalf.
Asking your client questions, please, Mr. West.
I object to the court inquiring of Mr. Zimmerman as to his decision about whether or not to testify.
Your objection is overruled. Mr. Zimmerman, I will give you more time, sir, to discuss this with your attorney. Thank you very much.
Okay, that kind of ran a little bit long because I couldn't find it at first, but we will be back in a few moments after these important messages from our sponsors.
After a few short messages, we will be right back.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Okay, getting back to that audio that I had a few minutes ago, that was the judge, and her name was Deborah Nelson, as she questioned the defendant about his plans to testify. Now, Nelson reminded Zimmerman that he has the absolute right to remain silent if he so desires and proceeded to ask him whether he was prepared to testify. Defense attorney Don West twice objected to that question, but was overruled by Nelson, who explained the court is entitled to inquire if Mr. Zimmerman's determination as to whether or not he wants to testify. Now, a judge is not supposed to do that. I mean, wasn't
he told over and over again that he didn't have to testify. So she was being a real twit by trying to push him into doing something that his lawyer and him have had apparently discussed to not do. And when his lawyer tried to object, she said that she wasn't speaking to him. Well, wasn't he representing Mr. Zimmerman? Wasn't he supposed to be able to talk to for him if Mr. Zimmerman wasn't talking? I always thought that's what the lawyer was there for, to help the person talk in court. But she had no right to do what she did, and what she did was something that should get her removed from the bench, and it should have done it already. But nobody's saying a word about this. It's the same thing as with Obama when he tells us something that is patently untrue. Nobody will do anything about this because my guess is that this is a liberal judge and they don't want to lose any of them. But no matter what, she had no right to do what she did, and she did something that should get her removed from the bench, and this is pure D wrong, folks. In my life, I have never heard a judge do this. But I think that this one was just a woman who was feeling her oats and was feeling power hungry, and it was within her rights as a woman judge to do just what she did. But woman or not, folks, that was just wrong. Another part of the liberal mentality in this country and their tricks to make sure that the Zimmermans in this world and him, he himself, are convicted, even though the evidence says he shouldn't be. That is a grand example of what is going wrong in this country. The laws do not matter to these people, and it goes all the way to the top. The latest on the Boston bomber is a photo that I found on the internet from the White House, and I've actually got it on my show. If you listen to the show in the archives, you'll see all these photos that are there. Well, the last one I've got on there, I found on the internet, and the noting on the photo says that it's Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Harbi, the person who was noted to be the person of interest in the Boston bombing. And he is with our president in that. My question is, what in the heck is our president doing in that house of the people? It seems he is forgetting or has forgotten that he is supposed to, what he is supposed to be there. The article I was reading went on to say a White House pool report from the day indicates that the event was closed to the public, reading the President and First Lady celebrated the 4th by hosting military heroes and their families, along with administration staff and families, at a White House barbecue and concert on the South Lawn. President Obama's public remarks may also be also say he spent the day with a few hundred members of military and their families. So this was a story they were invited that they were invited to a celebration honoring military's heroes, a fabrication, or if the claims and photos are genuine, why did they receive an invitation? It is possible, victims of the Boston Marathon bombing were also among the invitees? But the Blaze found no reports of mass invitations. If that was the justification, Al-Habari, or Harbi, seemingly would have been part of a selected group. And if he truly was there, it wouldn't be the first time that Saudi outlets are reporting that he has been close to the First Lady. According to the reports in April, the First Lady visited the young Saudi in the hospital, and I mentioned that on my show too, and actually had a blog post showing photos of her there. And they were the alleged photos that surfaced days later. Not only was Al-Harbi named a person of interest in the Boston bombings, he was reportedly set for deportation on 212-3B grounds, security and related grounds terrorist activities after the tragedy. Sources told The Blaze his file was altered on the evening of April 17th to disassociate him from the initial charges, and according to Glenn Beck, someone later went in and tried to destroy both the original event file and the amended version. Even if he was invited, the fact that someone who is not an American soldier was there could spark interest. Mysterious indeed. And I totally agree here. Mysterious indeed. But it really isn't mysterious if we continue to watch what our president and his cabinet and family are doing. First off, they are not in a position to say they are a private people. In their position, they are in the limelight, so they need to get used to the photographers and the media following them. Of course, you know, the media that is the mainstream media don't, unless it has something to do with being good for the president. But I have seen several times where the president has gotten really angry because things he wants are not being done. But the problem with that is the president's job is not to get done what he wants to do. It is to do what the people want. No matter what Obama thinks, he is not the boss here. The people are. It is time he realized this. But the people have to realize this too, that Obama is not their friend. He is not in the White House with our best interests at heart. When it comes to our best interests, folks, he does not care what they are. He only cares what he wants. That is the narcissist in him. And I am sure that you have all heard Obama called a narcissist before. It is sure the truth. He cares nothing for anyone but himself. Not a good mix of character to have in the White House, I think, for the good of the country. Wouldn't you think? When I saw that photo, I actually put it on my computer, and I have several computers. I put it on my desktop because it's got a great big screen, so I could actually blow that photo way up and look at it. And I compared it to photos of this Al Harvey when they were showing photos of him after the Boston bombing, and you cannot tell me it's not the same person. And why he was at the White House is something that people should be concerned about. He shouldn't have been. And, you know, and we have right now an enemy who resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. And the sooner that we, the people, realize this, the sooner we can get this country back on track to being the great country that she once was. And you know, it really pains me to have to say things like that, because I've always thought America was the greatest country there ever was. And I look at it now, and to me, she's still a great country. But then I look at how the rest of the world sees America right now. And there are so many nations out there that we should really care about how they feel for us, who are laughing at us. If we had microphones all over the world, in places of power, there would be so much laughter everyone would hear, and it wouldn't be mirthful, merry laughter. It would be scornful laughter, laughter of people who hate America and are just enjoying the heck out of themselves because America is finally floundering like they've always wished she would. And then it comes down to somebody like me, and somebody like the people in my chat room, or somebody who listens to this show or listens to Rush Limbaugh. thought like that just crushes our hearts and makes us wish that we would start doing something. Stop voting these idiots into office who do not care whether this nation survives or not.
After a few short messages, we will be right back.
Okay, Patriot Depot, let's assume that you're listening to conservativenationradio.org. You're conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers, patriotic t-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to all that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio, one word, .org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag proudly and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot banner, Patriot Depot banner, I'm sorry, to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Fairy godmother?
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Now, I will change subjects to another one of my favorite topics. Climactic events such as melting ice and breaking ice off of icebergs are usually blamed on global warming by the likes of Al Gore and others who make their millions from jilting the populace out of their hard-earned money and try to, in an effort to try to save the Earth from something that isn't happening in an unnatural way. From the site Headlines and Global News comes this one with the title, Iceberg the Size of Chicago Breaks Off Antarctic Glacier. Now, it goes on to say climate change not responsible, but they start out with, iceberg the size of Chicago breaks off of Antarctic Glacier. This is going to set Al Gore off. I just know it. It's something that I feel in my bones. one of these days, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear from him and others. But in this article, it says everything in the climate is natural and happens as it always has happened. Well, actually, that's me saying that. It's like I have said many, many times before, and I will say it again many, many times again. The climate is cyclical and will always be. But from this article that I found this week came this one, and like I said, I can predict that we will hear from Al Gore on this one or someone else touting global warming again. Here's what it said. Climate change is often claimed for large environmental events, but a giant piece of ice that broke off a glacier may have been caused by something else. And this was one of the very first times I've seen this in the media, where they actually say right off the bat that it's caused not by global warming, but something else. But that kind of also takes across the point that it's probably from a conservative place. So the massive piece of Pine Island Glacier, which is the longest and fastest flowing in Antarctica, broke off and is now floating in the Amundsen Sea. That's Amundsen. And Alfred Weniger Institute press release reported. Scientists noticed a crack in the glacier around October of 2011. As a result of these cracks, one giant iceberg broke away from the glacier tongue. It measures 450 square miles and is therefore almost as large as the city of Hamburg, Professor Angelica Humbert, ice researcher at the Wilfred Weniger Institute, said. Glaciers often crack and break, called calving, but this one piece is especially large. Glaciers are constantly in motion. They have their very own flow dynamics. Their ice is exposed to permanent tensions, and the calving of icebergs is still largely unresearched. A team of German researchers used Terra SAR-X satellite data to create computer simulations of the glacier's flow and compared them with reality. As far as the team could tell, the giant crack was not caused by climate change. And to me, this is really a neat thing to read in some printed matter, that it's not caused by global warming. But, you know, it's just like I said, you know, we got Al Gore, who is making millions off of his idea that polar bears have to swim hundreds of miles now to get to another ice floe. They've always done that, folks. He never mentions the fact that polar bears are probably some of the best swimmers in the world. They can swim hundreds of miles and not even break a sweat. Of course, I think what Al Gore is pushing on this one is that, you know, try to be like a polar bear, be a human, try and swim 100 miles, see where that gets you. To me, people who believe in global warming are idiots. That doesn't mean that I think that we need to just forget about trying to clean up our climate. No, I don't believe that. But this idea that we have to have this stuff forced on us at our cost, raising the cost of everything that we use to protect the world from something that's gonna happen anyway, just drives me into the wall. Makes me want to just go up to the wall and just bang my head against it a few times. Give myself a headache because global warming caused that. Oh my gosh, we're in trouble. No. I remember back in the 70s, this one advertisement where they showed a child of maybe 4 standing on a railroad track. And in the background, you could see a coming train. Then they started talking about global warming and how it was going to kill us all by the year 2000. Yeah. It is now 2013, 13 years later, and have you heard any of those people say, hey, we were wrong, by gosh, world didn't end at 2000. We're still here. Wonder what the heck happened. Probably because what the heck happened was they were wrong, as they always are. And you know how when things don't work out as their computer models tell them that they should? They're always surprised. No, they're not. They know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going to happen. But they've got to put these things down to make it look like they knew what they were talking about in the first place. And then one of these days we're going to have a headline like I just saw here. The Eskimos who will fall off their sleds and into the sea because the ice cracked because of global warming, and they're going to all perish into the sea, and sharks are going to eat them because global warming is going to cause it to happen. Now, I'm not trying to be funny here, but you know, that's where this whole thing is leading here, folks. They're going to find something like this big piece of ice, and it's going to cause all kinds of problems. Maybe it'll float up to Alaska and hit an edge of the Earth up there, and because of global warming, the Earth will split open, and a whole bunch of Eskimos will fall in, and they'll all drown, and it'll all be because of global warming. Do you see the fun that Hollywood would have putting together a movie of this kind of thing? You know, forget The Day After Tomorrow and forget all these other movies that they have hit us with that say global warming is going to destroy everything. Why don't we just have this great big ice chunk from Antarctica float up to Alaska, hit Alaska, split the land wide open because of global warming. Everybody drops in and dies. And Al Gore will come on and say something like, "Sir, I told you so. It just was going to happen. Global warming is real and true, and we are all going to die because of it." Well, of course, I am joking here, but it's not really a joking matter, is it? Global warming is nothing. They keep talking about how Antarctica is melting, but they don't talk about how the other end of the world is getting deeper in ice. Now, are they? Are they? The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled here, folks. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by a 2-to-1 margin, according to numerous polls, even the ones by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement, one word, .com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is a liberal, free website. An Army veteran in Texas is fighting for his Second Amendment rights after learning that a misdemeanor pot conviction from 1971 has disqualified him from ever owning a gun. Ron Kelly, who retired from the Army in 1993 after 20 years of service, was recently turned away when he tried to buy a .22 caliber rifle at a Walmart in Tomball, Texas, after a computerized background check flagged the 42-year-old arrest. The story was on the front page of the Houston Chronicle on Wednesday. Kelly said he had forgotten about his minor pot violation from high school. The federal government, on the other hand, has not. The Army vet spent one night in jail and was given 1 year probation. Though he didn't realize it at the time, he was also apparently stripped of his Second Amendment rights for a lifetime. According to the FBI, which runs the background checks known as the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, the law states that a person can be prevented from owning a gun if they are convicted of a misdemeanor in which they could spend more than 2 years behind bars. Now, remember, he spent one night. I am ashamed of the way my government has treated me, Kelly told the Chronicle. The government may have the greatest intentions with the law, but they messed it up. The outraged veteran who spent two decades of his life using firearms to defend his country has since reached out to U.S. Representative Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas, and Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, for help in resolving the issue. And I haven't heard anything else on this. I haven't heard if they've succeeded or anything, but it says he'd be happy with a waiver so he can regain his right to own a firearm. As an infantry in the Army, Kelly has fired perhaps 100,000 rounds of government ammo over his 20 years of service, Schiller notes. Meanwhile, officials in North Carolina, where he was born and raised, were unable to even find records of the conviction because it is so old. The story is reminiscent of two others on the blaze in recent years. In 2011, we brought you a story from Ohio where a man faced felony weapons charges because he obtained a gun after having a misdemeanor marijuana charge in 2006. Back in 2006, Paul Stone was convicted of a simple marijuana possession, a minor misdemeanor under Ohio law. There is no jail time possible for the offense. Maximum penalty is $150 fine plus some community service. It is not treated as a criminal record for the purposes of employment or licensing questions about an individual's past. But in Ohio, the legislature has placed a specific limit on Second Amendment related to substance possession, specifically Ohio REV Code 2923.13 prohibits gun possession by any person who has been convicted of any offense involving the illegal possession in any drug of abuse. In February, we reported on Navy vet Jeff Schrader, whose story closely resembles that of Kelly's. And it just goes on. We have so much that is going wrong in this country. I don't understand it, but that's just the way it is, I think.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, PCS4Automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony for Red, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
How I long to hear you sing beneath the clear blue skies.
A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
We have a phone call here as we get back into our final segment from 931 area code. Good afternoon.
Well, that'd be me. That'd be the Mr. Bin Man. Hey, Robert, how are you
today?
Doing?
I'm doing
fine.
Good. You thought I'd forgotten about you and didn't even see you there, huh?
My ears were burning, man. I just had to
Uh-oh.
Come in here.
Oh, cool.
Hey, good show. Look, my wife is somehow related to Al Gore, but she don't like to talk about it. I mean, it's like nobody likes that dude up here, man. Nobody. And he's from Carthage, but he's got houses all over the place. I mean, multi-million-dollar houses, and it's just, the guy burns more oil probably just lighting his lamp box out front than I do in a whole year, you know?
Yeah, that's the same with me. And of course, the price of gasoline went up here. It's almost $4 a gallon now, and it was like $3.18 last week. So, I don't know.
We need that guy on here, that one dude that was talking about the rent's too doggone high, the rent's too high, you know. We need him on here somewhere.
Yeah.
But anyways, tomorrow, Robert, if on Soldiers of Patriotism on the same network, we have two guests, actually. I call from the Georgia Campaign for Liberty, and he's going to be on talking about these training courses that they're having down here in the Deep South, and they're very good training courses. And I like some of what they're doing, their bio and so on. But we also are going to have on Usama Dakduk from the Straight Way Ministry. And he's going to talk to us about Islam. And we're going to get hard-hitting with him on Islam. He's Egyptian-born, so it fits right into what's going on over there right now. And he converted to Christianity when he was about 11. They had to study Islam till he left the country. And it's going to be a good show, man. We're going to ask some tough questions, or I'm going to ask some tough questions anyways.
That ought to be a great show. I know I'm going to do my best to be there. Maybe I'll even call in there and ask him some questions myself.
I think somebody outside of the realm, he's, like I said, Egyptian-born as far as Usama goes. And then I call just a very good, energetic person. So it'll be a good show, man. So tune in tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. CST, Soldiers Patriotism.
Yeah, that sounds
same
like it's going to be a good show.
Same bat number, same bat channel.
Yeah. Sounds like it's going to be a great show. Hope everybody listens. I know I'm going to be there. And that's going to be tomorrow night at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central here on Conservative Nation Radio. And thanks, Bing, for calling in.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. An MP3 download of a movie is available on this thing I was talking about global warming. It's available on Comfort's website, and I didn't get the website, and that just blows me away because that should have been my first thing to write down was the URL for that. But I found it on the Blaze Network, and the website has additional outreach plans that are in the works for Christian groups and plans to offer downloads and DVDs. And I actually looked
on that website because I was actually there to check it out, and it's a movie I want to get. It's called Evolution versus God. And it sounds like a really good movie, but it talks about the changing laws to take our rights away and the way that they're working. Evangelical leader Ray Comfort is the one who does it. He's making waves in both Christian and science circles with his new Evolution versus God movie. And see, there, you know, if we start looking for these things, they are out there. Everything that's coming out that is good is not from Hollywood anymore. And I think Hollywood just kind of really doesn't like that idea. They feel that they are the movie capital of the world, and nothing good will ever happen in a movie unless it comes out of Hollywood. Well, we are finding out now that that's just not true. Most of the stuff that's coming out of Hollywood now is so blatantly left-wing, anti-American, pro-Obama crap that it just will curl the hair of anybody. You know, and if you want to have yourself a curly hairdo and you don't want to go through the trouble of it, just listen to Obama speak for about a half an hour and that'll do it for you. Or Harry Reid or one of these other leftist individuals who have it in their mind that America is the worst country that has ever existed. You know? And for any American that loves what they are doing, you know, what America is doing, any American who loves America needs to start looking for these other avenues of movies. We have always just kind of looked at Hollywood as somebody that makes these good movies. And yeah, granted, I watched that movie Day After Tomorrow. And, you know, for a movie, it was pretty good. But the thing that caught my attention on this whole thing was it was a global warming thing where global warming was causing everything that was going on. No, it's not. It's not, folks. It's something that has always been there. Climate is cyclical, has always been that way. Some of the warmest years on history have been before mankind started doing this whole thing with gasoline engines and everything. But that is something you will never, ever hear from the global warming crowd like Al Gore. You'll never hear it from Obama as he tries to preach all this stuff and tries to make it so more and more regulations are there for us so we have to pay more and more money out in our whole thing just to be able to do what he wants us to do. And that's just the way it is, folks. This is Robert the Infidel with this, the latest edition of New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here through conservativenationradio.org on Blog Talk Radio. If you like the show, check out the archives and also go to wiseconservatism.com for my blog and YouTube for my Wise Conservatism's video side chats. Also check out conservativenationradio.org for a wealth of information and a listing of all our shows, Sundays through Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. Until next week, same time, same internet. God willing, we will see you then. Good day. I'm gonna go.
could be found. Just for kicks down 66, that's another time. Just don't wait to California.
God bless you all, and thank you for listening. Have a good day.